Well, in our settlement agreement, we are obligated, this board is obligated, to bring our bylaws into compliance with California law. There are several areas where that's quite doubtful, if not certain, that it's out of compliance. And we are also mandated to have elected labs. And under the settlement agreement, any bylaws that are adopted relating to the number or manner of election of lab members and the number or manner of election of the ongoing next board of directors must be approved by a two-thirds majority of this board of directors, this interim board, and by majority vote of 3 out of 5 of the current LABs. We committed in our settlement process to doing this in open dialogue with our listenership. And I thought about how to do that. We left out our staff members in the settlement agreement, but that I think that was an unfortunate but oversight, and we should definitely actively seek and welcome the input of the people who work here, who do the work, as well as our listeners. So drawing on our experience on what happened at KPFA when we came up with our elections model, I actually think it worked pretty well. Before I go into this further, I want to acknowledge that we also, I forwarded to every board member another proposal that was put together by a group of listeners and is endorsed by 42 people according to the latest tally I have here. And I hope the board has had an opportunity to read that proposal as well. It's very detailed and carefully thought out and is an alternative to the proposal I've made, and I hope we'll all consider carefully how best to structure this. But I'm going to talk about my proposal, and I hope during community comments that those who worked on the other proposal will speak for it. They can do a better job than I can trying to summarize it. But drawing on our experience at KPFA when we set up our elections rules, our lab empowered a subcommittee to meet. The public was invited, and staff members were invited. Anybody who wanted to participate in that process could. I think that what happened there as a result of that was that we had open, vigorous discussion that forced people to come to grips with their fears and hopes and to listen to each other, because it wouldn't get done unless they came up with solutions to their fears and hopes that they could agree to. It was a difficult process. It took several months. The committee that did this worked very respectfully together, even though they often had very deeply held opposing views, and they came up with a proposal for how our KPFA lab would be elected that we've now had 2 elections as a result of, and we're evaluating it to see how it worked now after our experience with 2 elections, and that experience can go into the mix of discussing how all the labs might be elected in the future, whether we want to adopt the KPFA model as is, modify it, or what. But I think, from my point of view, we need to consult everybody. Everybody who wants to be part of this should be part of it. Now, in the end, who's going to vote? The labs and this board. That's who's going to decide. But if this committee is successful, it will come up with a proposal that will garner a two-thirds majority vote on this board and a majority vote from at least 3 of the 5 labs. If it's a failure, it won't. So the task of this committee is to draft proposed bylaws revisions that will achieve that broad consensus. So I've put together a proposal that says, one, member, at least one member of the interim board from each of the five signal areas needs to be on the committee. And at least three lab members from each of the five stations needs to be on the committee. And as many members of the public and the staff who come to three consecutive committee meetings in their station area will also be on the committee. These committee meetings would have to be held in public. The discussions would be open. It would be, to start out, identify issues, what issues need to be addressed, and then work on drafting and circulating proposals as to various areas of the bylaws once they've been identified as needing attention. And circulate them amongst five subcommittees in all five station areas, exchange feedback, and keep modifying them until we can arrive at something that the big majority of the people who care passionately about Pacifica believe will work. I think everybody knows that there are deep differences of opinion about how to do this. And I'm hopeful that such a process can be undertaken in a respectful manner and in a manner that models how we want Pacifica to be in the future, and that no one will be excluded. And I want to say to my horror that I have received emails from many people pleading with me to exclude this, that, or the other group from this process. And I have to tell you that that has been deeply saddening to me. Deeply saddening. So saddening that sometimes I wonder what we were fought for. So I plead with everyone to, no matter how much you disagree with someone, please permit them to have their input into this process. I at first thought of separating out just the lab rules from the rest of it, and then I thought, you know, everything in the bylaws is going to have to hang together. The structure of this foundation and its governance structure is going to have to hang together. So I'd really like to farm this out to the committee to really intensively look at, and maybe they can divide up portions of it but bring it back together. But we have a very tight timeline. Under our legal settlement agreement, our new labs are supposed to be elected within 1 year after the first meeting date of the initial meeting of the interim board, which was December 29th. So under the settlement agreement, we should have new labs elected by the end of this year. Our experience at KPFA is that it requires 3 months to conduct an election. It needed at least a month to field the candidates, at least a month for the candidates to go around the communities, meet the communities, get on the air for people to find out who they are and hear from them. Then you have to mail the ballots out, and a 30-day return period is what we've been using for people to mail their ballots back. So that's 3 months, which means that we need to have bylaws approved by September 1st. So it's a tight timeline. Several people have said, well, you could extend it. And I don't think we should set off with the objective of extending our time. Quite frankly, there are people with legal rights who could object to an extension of time, including the Attorney General of the State of California. I'd really rather not have to ask for one. I think we should try to do this and see if we can. So I'm suggesting that each signal area have a subcommittee of a national committee, that the chair of the subcommittee would be the an IPNB member from that station area, that all meetings be announced on the air and lots of publicity, and that by April 15th all the subcommittees will have met. They should endeavor to meet weekly. It takes that much work. So, you know, it really takes a lot of work. Endeavor to meet weekly. By April 15th, identify issues and exchange them. By May 31st, produce a rough draft for feedback. By July 15th, produce a revised draft. By August 15th, produce a draft that is calculated to get the votes of approval that we need in order to move forward, hopefully a final draft. The target date for obtaining all votes of approval would be August 31st, so that we could then implement them and begin the election process. I do want to say one other thing, because I got so many emails from people telling me who should be excluded from this process, and why they were bad people and we shouldn't consider their views. I'm sounding stern, but I was very upset. I think that the subcommittees will have to meet under rules, and ideally the meetings would be informal and conducted in a collegial manner in a brainstorming mode, but if that is not possible, the chair of the meeting should conduct the meetings under Robert's rules with modifications, saying that any person ruled out of order three times by the chair can be ejected by the chair. Any person ejected from two meetings can be banned from further meetings. And also that at the sole discretion of the chair of any subcommittee or the national chair of the committee, a meeting facilitator can be brought in to run these meetings who would be neutral. So that's my proposal, and I'm certain that you all have many ideas about it and suggestions, critiques, ways to improve it.
Carol Spooner, Board Secretary.
Let's have a little discussion among the board, and then I do want to hear from any of the people, or one or two of the people who put forth the other proposal, too. So, Marion?
Marion Barry, delegate from D.C., the board member, I should say.
The interim board, as my understanding, the settlement agreement has 15 months in which to do this work. And Carol, I was wondering, how did you come to September as the time to have it done?
If you look at the settlement agreement, Marion, it says the labs must be elected within 12 months after the first meeting of this board, and 3 months later, which would be 15 months, the election of national directors is to take place. So 12 months for the lab, 15 months for the national board election.
But I don't read that as requiring the full bylaws to be done before the elections of the labs can happen. This board could pass a process for the reforming and the new elections of the labs without having also concluded its overall work on the bylaws for the foundation period. Now, part of the bylaws will include a section, I assume, on the future election of labs and how did it go. But that's not the whole thing. So it seems to me that we really are rushing ourselves on the larger picture. That's the first thing. Secondly, the interim board now is made up of five members from the labs, five members from the defendants, and five members from the plaintiffs. And as well thought out as this, Carol, since from the defendants, we only have people from one single area, unfortunately. That means that there'll be no representation from the national board. Georgia's a lab member. He's a lab member. He's not from the defendants. She's from the plaintiffs. So we need to figure out a way, it seems to me, that if you're going to try to get a two-third vote. Also, Madam Chairperson, Ms. Chairperson, has it. Ms. Chairperson.
There we go.
Is this bound by a balanced majority and two-thirds or by two-thirds?
Either.
No, it's two-thirds in the settlement agreement.
Two-thirds.
I'm sorry, you mean the final adoption of the bylaws.
So
the final adoption bylaws is two-thirds and 3 out of 5 of the local advisory boards.
And the other concern I have, if you look at the composition of the subcommittee, Carol, I assume you mean that anyone can join the subcommittee who comes to three consecutive meetings and can vote on what the recommendations are. I think this is fraught. I mean, I think you ought to have consultation with everybody around, our listeners, the community at large, people who may be potential listeners, but I'm not sure it's workable to have anyone who comes to three meetings be able to vote on these final bylaws. You may have, in some instances, 10 people from one community and 40 from another, and it just gets to be a mess. Now, I think you can have consultation. You ought to. Serious consultation, not just perfunctory. but then take those ideas, but let the members of the subcommittee be the ones who make the recommendations to the other. The third problem I have is that it seems to me, I know you really thought about this, so I hope you understand my position on this, that you would have five subcommittees almost working independent of each other. So how would at some point you get all together? I mean, I think this needs to be really rethought a little bit in terms of how you structure this, with the goal being to have a maximum amount of participation, but on the other hand, to get a product that would meet your test of assuming that two-thirds of the members of this interim board will vote and three of the five left will vote. And the fourth point I have...
you got a lot of points there.
Well, I mean, I've been thinking about this. This is a serious business. And you have the main subcommittee is one member from the national board and three from the local.
Minimum of one. Minimum. All five from Washington could be on the Washington subcommittee.
Yeah, but we won't be anywhere else either in terms of the four other places, which I think does not give you the balance and the flavor that you need. I'm not moving anywhere. I love Washington. I moved to San Francisco, Berkeley.
Could I address that?
With the national office. So that's my concern.
Okay,
so I think we need to figure out, and I'm not sure we can resolve this right this way. I think the problem needs to be a little bit more dialogue, discussion, maybe here, and come back with a structure that seems to me. But again, the serious flaw is you got five subcommittees working in the five signal areas. I know what you're trying to do, Carol, bring everybody in, but independent of each other, nobody knows what everybody else is doing.
Marion, I didn't, first of all, I didn't envision that these subcommittees would work independently. That's why they're called committees instead of subcommittees instead of committees. I think it will be absolutely essential, whether we adopt this structure or any other, that people in all five signal areas work on the bylaws, because it affects all five signal areas. And so it will be necessary for a national chair to coordinate communication and make certain that drafts are being circulated back and forth, perhaps position papers, things like that. There, because we do operate in five signal areas and we need the approval of three out of the five labs, and our directors are all over the country, I felt it was necessary to have five subcommittees, but it will be essential, and the job of the national chair and the local chairs of the subcommittees to exchange drafts, exchange views, make sure everybody is getting a real cross-pollinization. The other thing that you said that I had just changed my mind about 2 days ago about whether we should try to do the whole bylaws or just the election rules for the national and local boards through this committee. And you could persuade me differently. But the thing is, we did commit to reviewing the whole bylaws, reviewing them for any legal changes that needed to happen in consultation with our listeners. And if we try to do just one segment through one committee and other parts of it through another committee, I'm worried that it won't hang together. It'll even be more difficult to get the communication and feedback amongst all the people working on this stuff. So my thought was it would be better to have five subcommittees who would be exchanging ideas, but maybe dividing up portions of the bylaws among themselves.
But on the other hand, though, the lab elections, the guideline is to use the KPFA model. So it's not really complicated. If you just adopt that with some modification on it, that could be done fairly soon in 30, 60 days of talk and discussions, and have it ready by September. But I think it's going to take a little bit more time to do the overall bylaw. That's some very thorny issuance there, particularly governor. That's going to be, in my view, the sticky, wicky one, because at one point there was a view that you ought to have a 15-person board with 10 from the labs and 5 at large, and somebody said 11 and 8. So I think it's going to take a little bit longer, Carol, quite frankly, for us nationally to get this dialogue going and get it done. I'm not for delay for delay's sake, but I really think we ought to separate out. Adopt a KPFA model with some modification at our next board meeting, which I think we could do. You could bring that back to us since you know more about it. And then we could have simultaneously working some structure on the larger picture.
David was next, and then Rob, and then Ray.
Fearless leader, if I may. As the
that's
you. Yeah, yes, thank you. As the sole board member in Southern California, I have the honor of being on virtually every committee.
With David Fertig,
which means, well, it may kill me, but I'll know a whole lot of stuff. The thing is that I while it requires a lot of work, I think that the very nature of Pacifica will be defined by the manner in which the elections occur for the local advisory boards. I think it's integral to the bylaws and the design of the bylaws. I don't agree that they really can be practically done separately. I can see how that would be more time saving in a way in the short term, but in the long term it would create problems. I think it needs to be an integrated effort. And I don't think that the outside time limit is written in stone because, frankly, if we don't get it done in time, we won't get it done by that time. But I think we need to start as soon as possible. I don't see any benefit in putting it off. And I think, again, that if we proceed with an integrated approach, we will end up saving time in the long run.
I have three things to say, and I haven't had a chance to read this carefully. But the first thing regards the amending the bylaws. The bylaws need to be amended overall. My sense is, and Carol, I have not had a chance to read this carefully, but I would strongly urge that that this board committee that look at revising the bylaws try to go through that process comprehensively and get it out to the labs. If what we're talking about is asking everybody, both on the board and at the lab level, to begin rewriting the bylaws on their own, I think we're going to have a hard time bringing it back together in any kind of structure. I think what we have to do is get together on the board and redraft the bylaws and understand what the issues are, and then provide the labs not only with the document and the bylaw revisions that we've drafted, but with the legislative rationale. What were we trying to protect against happening again? What are the things that we want to promote in the future, so that the comments that come back from the lab are in the context of what was missing, what are the things that we want to strengthen, what are the things that we want to happen that we've never been good at doing before. So if I'm misunderstanding that, forgive me, but I think unless we give people something that's comprehensive and well thought through and ask them to comment on it in detail, we're going to have a very, very difficult, if not an impossible job of synthesizing everything that comes back from people. Additionally, everybody's going to feel offended if they feel that their language or their issues weren't taken. It will be easier to take the comments from people and graft them onto, you know, one philosophically unified body. The second thing that I'm very concerned about is, while I do think we can comply with the election, the Democratic election,
WBAI in New York,
I see that less as being an issue that requires bylaw work on the front end, and more of an issue which requires us thinking the process from the standpoint of how you run an election. What are we going to educate the listeners about to begin with? What are we going to provide them with to help them understand how the process works? I see those as being procedural issues which we must work hand in glove both with the labs, particularly with the labs and any listeners groups, and with station management. We don't think that this is going to be a problem, but we don't want to have a process in which we have a democratic and open process for providing information, but some of the stations are not putting that information on the air. So my concern is that we emphasize, at least in this first democratic election, a process which will bring the listeners into participation less than worrying about the legal structure. We obviously are going to have to make some provisions in the new bylaws for the democratic election of labs, but I think the important thing for us to do at this stage is to empower all the listeners with an understanding of the mission of Pacifica and how the democratic election of people onto the labs and to this body is going to make Pacifica much stronger. And then my third point is that after we have been able to go through at least one election cycle, we may need to have regulations, you know, operating guidelines for how we do elections. But I'm basically arguing for us to evolve a process a little bit, be evolutionary in how we do the elections, because I think, quite frankly, we're going to have to learn from our mistakes.
Board Member Rob Robinson, you're listening to the Pacifica Interim Board's meeting in Los Angeles, and we'll be continuing this coverage for the next hour. And the stations you're listening to are WBAI in New York, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno.
It boiled down to 10 people who were willing to show up all the time. It's hard work to show up every week for a meeting. It means you have to really be interested in language. Once you're somewhat comfortable with the broad concepts, most people kind of fall away and the drafters hang around.
Carol, let's finish up.
Okay. Well, based on experience that I've and other people have had working through, you know, procedures and trying to, come up with bylaws, particularly with concerned friends, it's my experience that expecting people to attend three consecutive meetings as a condition for participation is rather difficult to attain. And that so it seems to be overly restrictive on one side, and on the other hand, reading people's discussion of these issues, I've seen suggested that we should be aware of attempts by certain parties to take advantage of the process. The most extreme example would be those people who've been removed would organize people to just come and specifically assiduously participate in meetings, meet the requirements, and be there, and therefore have a voice that is that would be greater than whatever forces they really represent.
Exactly.
Can I have any feedback from that?
Oh, okay.
Ray LaForest, board member from New York.
Yeah, well,
Carol Spooner.
That required, what's the attending three meetings mean? I don't know. anybody could come to a meeting. And what is it being a member of the committee mean? It means that you have a vote on something, I suppose. And maybe your vote would be more meaningful if you'd actually attended three meetings than if you just showed up for the 16th meeting of the committee. So I think that's sort of what I had in mind. It wasn't that people couldn't come. But then somebody else pointed out to me, well, what does a vote on this subcommittee mean? It doesn't mean that you approve the bylaws.
No. Right.
The bylaws have to be approved by the labs and this board. So what you're doing is maybe taking straw polls about, well, who thinks this would work better than that? So, I don't know. I'm open to changing that. It was just sort of trying to make some criteria for counting votes.
If I could just call myself for a moment. I share some of the concerns. I also have some more papers to give out to people, some more input from folks. But I just want to raise a few questions first, or concerns that I have. And I think if I followed what Rob was saying, I think I agree with a good portion of it, that I think we need to be clear about a few things. One is that we do want a process that is deliberate and within a specific time frame, but also open, that people who don't necessarily have the wherewithal to come to a weekly meeting can still get their ideas and their issues, on the table and their points of view heard. And I think our responsibility is to give, some organization to that process, to suggest some way that can happen. And I think we need to be clear to people, though, as you just were, Carol, that in the end, no matter how many meetings somebody goes to locally, the responsibility for adopting the new bylaws will be with this interim board and with the labs, with the local advisory boards. So I don't think we want to set up false hopes or expectations that just because somebody has come to 15 or 20, however many meetings, that, you know, because that they're going to have a vote in the final document, a direct vote. So I think we need to be clear about that with folks. I guess my image of how this could unfold is that the board would have a committee of four or five people, I don't know how many people, to do some initial drafting, at least an initial drafting of the questions and the possible points of view on some of the major questions that would then go out to the five listening areas, to committees, however they're set up, and you know, there are a variety of ways to do that, so that to help make sure that at least some set of questions are being addressed in all five listening areas, that we really do get feedback and input and ideas on from all five listening areas on whether it's 5 or 15, whatever the number is, you know, very specific questions and issues that we need that input on. Other issues might emerge in a local conversation, in a local dialogue, which we would want to hear also, but we wouldn't want to have Texas talking about something and Washington talking about something else. We want everybody talking about the same things and then collating back all of those ideas that are generated, redrafting something based on that input, sending it back out for another round of debate and dialogue and discussion and conversation, and then based on that, redrafting it again. You know, that kind of back and forth. I don't have an exact timeline in mind, but I agree with you that we're shooting for September, you know, to get this thing done. The other thing that I just want to raise in terms of your proposal about the nature of the committee stuff, I think you're right that often when it comes to processes like this, you're left with committees of whoever is left in the room. And that's not necessarily the most representative body. That may be the most committed body to, you know, getting through the work, but it may not guarantee the kind of input from diverse communities that you really want to get. So I would hope that even if there is some structure like that, that one of the mandates or charges to those committees would be to also organize some other mechanisms to talk to people. To people who maybe only want to come to one, you know, three-hour session and not a meeting every week. So they could be large public forums. They could be community meetings. You know, whatever the way it happens.
Probably some airtime.
Airtime also.
Or radio.
But, you know, to really think through other ways to solicit input and ideas and challenges to the proposals that are being put forth. And finally, I'm actually just on the question of whether or not this whole process should look at the total package of bylaws or specifically focus on the election of labs and the relationship of the labs to the national board, you know, and those related items. I actually go back and forth. My present thinking on that, though, is that it really should focus on those and that there are a whole other host of questions, like what kind of officers the foundation should have. What are the terms? You know, how many years should somebody be on a national governing board? You know, how big the governing board should be. Although these are related questions, I think they could be interwoven with each other further down the line. So those are just some of my thoughts. What I want to do, I'll call Teresa next, just because she hasn't spoken yet. There are two more documents that I've gotten here. One is not signed, but it's from some listeners, and it's called an amendment to Carol Spooner's proposal. Here's this, folks. And then here's another thing that was just passed along to me by, that comes from an activist in New Jersey who wasn't here today, but he had emailed this to folks. Anyway, some more thoughts. Now, so that means I think we have three documents before us. The one signed by 42 people, the one signed by nobody, and then the one signed by one person. And what we might want to do is hear from Teresa and hear from Mary and anybody else on the board, but then also hear from one person from each of those three proposals so we can be clear about what they're saying. Teresa?
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Chair. Isn't this riveting? Yes. I was concerned about Carol's proposal because it appears that, if I understand this correctly, members of the listening public and station personnel, paid or unpaid, who participate in the process and just attend three consecutive meetings could draft it. They could actually have more, if control is the word, I don't know, but have more control in drafting this than people that are chartered to do that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Teresa,
I haven't read
Allen,
the amendment which
board
we just
member
got
from Houston.
That might deal with it.
To
and I have one question.
Lovely little girl.
I've seen something from KPFK. Does KPFK consider that they've already gone through the majority of the work?
KPFA.
No, I've seen one from KPFK.
No.
Proposed bylaws for KPFK and Pacifica radio stations 6-1 of 97. Does anybody want to comment on whether that's viable? Or how much
let me just suggest on that, instead of getting to that, that might be a document that these committees, or whatever the process is that we set up, any documents like that hopefully would be referred to that process for people to consider. You know, if people have done a lot of thinking and work already, the committees set up should have the benefit of that. But I don't know that we need to get into the particulars of that now.
Yeah. So I could just say there are at least three groups or organizations around the country that have actually worked up potential bylaws.
Okay. Marion was next. Marion, yeah.
Let me suggest, well, I like to make, I don't want to make them yet. I can have discussion. I want to make two motions. One, I really think that the election process for the left ought to stand on its own bottoms, ought to ask Carol to go back and draft, propose rules, regulations, etc., to bring back, based on the KPA model, KPFA model, as a base for it, bring it back to the next board meeting, let us adopt that so that can get going, because the board of bylaws may take longer to do. We don't want to hold up the elections. Secondly, I really think that, Ms. Chairperson, that Rob is on the right track in the sense that we ought to have a committee of this board, might suggest it be 5 or 7, that would draft the documents, then farm them out to these subcommittees in each of the 5 areas, that could take a broad, you know, base discussion about them and bring back their recommendations as to the reaction to the draft. I think that's much more productive and it's much more democratic, mm-hmm. because if you try to get a committee to start from the ground up to draft something cold, you're going to get what you got in a Campbell, which doesn't make any sense to anybody. So I would suggest at the right time, I'd like to make those two motions, but I don't want to just do them just to make them, to see if Carol and others on the board would agree that that's an approach we're going to do.
Can I just offer a slight variation on Marion before you respond, so you can look at both of them? On the first part, on the elections, the requirement that we have is to look at the KPFA experience as a, you know, as a starting point for our discussion. What might be useful is to ask somebody, Carol or somebody else, who was involved in that, to actually write up what happened, how it worked, you know, what the steps were, the timeline, how voting actually happened, et cetera, all the pieces of it, that could be circulated to the 5 listening areas and to the national board as a starting off point, because I do think we need to let each of the other areas and folks in the KPFA listening area too look at it some more to see if it needs further tweaking there, but certainly the 4 other listening areas, given their reality and the communities that they're in, they may say, well, this isn't going to work for us, we want to suggest that it go this way. So instead of just coming right to the board, is what I'm saying, that it be circulated first to the listening areas.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
First of all, there's a committee in KPFA land that is evaluating the success of our 2 elections, what we did right, what we did wrong, what we think maybe could work better. So that committee is up and running, and I don't know how long it'll take them to come up with their recommendations. I would like to see that integrated into the bylaws subcommittee for the KPFA area and have that all information shared with all the five station areas. When you say draft something up and send it to the five station areas, though, who am I sending it to? Or that's why I think we need five subcommittees with a chair in each station area and a definition that it meets, that it receives the documents from everybody, that all the different, you know, for instance, the PAC bylaws. All committees should review the PAC bylaws. There's some great ideas in there. There's an Orange County group that has drafted some proposed bylaws for Pacifica. So there are a lot of, when you say we should draft it and circulate it for comment, there are many, many people who have spent a good number of years looking at this issue, and maybe we ought to start by inviting the community in. Maybe they are better minds than we are.
Uh-huh. McCarroll?
That's good. Can we hear again, there were three documents that we got here, and obviously people haven't had a chance to absorb them all. So what I think might be useful, if we just heard from one person from each of those three. First, it was the proposal, the document that we got from the 42 signers. And I don't know who can speak from that group. Carolyn, or I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. Bernie Eisenberg
from New York is going
Judy
to...
Judy Gorman passed me the non-signed one.
We have not yet seen posted on the web these documents, and we recognize it's rather difficult to follow this on the radio, but...
Just get to the core point, you know.
Leslie Kagan's trying to simplify it for you. By Monday, they'll all be posted on, I'm sure, the Save Pacifica website, savepacifica.net.
It's a good proposal, but we'd like to improve on it. The ways we like to improve on it is by stressing the independence of the bylaws writing procedure and promoting the idea of one person, one vote. After all, if it actually goes the way of the proposal that was made, we'll have one person voting three times for the same set of bylaws in Southern California. As a IPN, as a committee subcommittee member, as a IPNB member, and as a lab member. That's not one person, one vote. I hope everybody has seen our proposal because we put it out, and I hope you've read it. What I'd like to do now is just sort of summarize it. This proposal was drafted by a number of activists in our movement and has been endorsed by the 42 people that were mentioned. It was widely published and distributed. For those people who haven't seen it or would like to get another hard copy, you can find it on www.wbai.net. This is due to the good work of Roger Manning sitting over there in the corner. Thank you, Roger. Now, the essence of this proposal is that the commissions, not the committees, that we view them as ad hoc independent commissions, that creating these independent commissions run by listeners has a twofold advantage. The creation of democratic decision-making within Pacifica is begun by a democratic process by the future listener members of Pacifica. This creates a new type of solidarity among the listeners, because there are potential conflicts of interest created by having current self-appointed IPNB and labs, not counting the KPFA lab, writing their own bylaws and election procedures. These conflicts of interest are minimized with this proposal because the drafting of bylaws and election procedures is separated from the ratification process. The listeners draft and the IPNB and the labs ratify. I'll say that again. The listeners draft and the IPNB and labs ratify. The motives of the current members of the IPNB and labs are not in question, but even those with the purest of motives can create conflicts of interest because they have more power than others. So I've cut a lot out here in order to be very short and to the point. I'm going to give you a summary of the structure and the timeline that this proposal has. Our proposal creates five independent commissions, one in each signal area to draft bylaws and election procedures. A representative of the IPNB organizes each commission and chairs initial orientation meetings that brainstorm and gather information. These initial commission meetings are open to all, and those who attend participate as equals. After about 2 months, the participants in each commission elect officers and draft their own rules of procedure. Those listeners who wish to participate in the drafting of bylaws and election procedures become what we call permanent voting members. The IPNB member becomes a non-voting liaison, and the labs select two non-voting liaisons. The producers and staff elect two voting members from among themselves. As they proceed, the commissions will reconcile as needed differences between their draft bylaws and election procedures. That is, they have to communicate. Everybody agrees on that. The completed drafts are then submitted to the IPNB and labs for ratification. If they are rejected, they are returned to the commission for revision based on the reasons offered. No bylaws or election procedures will be adopted without the approval of the commissions. Finally, after the new bylaws and elections are in place for 2 years, conventions of the Pacifica electorate will be held to review and propose amendments to the bylaws and election procedures and put them before the listener members for ratification. Well, that's the essence of it. It puts the power of drafting the bylaws in the hands of the listeners. You know, if it were not for the listeners, we would not be here today.
We are all listeners, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Judy?
I'll be glad to take questions.
Yeah, let's hear all three, and then if there are any questions. Judy?
My name is Judy Gorman. I'm a listener sponsor from WBAI in New York City. And a group of us here in New York want to thank Carol Spooner for making a proposal that opens up the process of bylaws and rewriting it to a broader spectrum of listeners and staff, and addresses some of the concerns that you, Leslie, and you, Teresa, have made. To further strengthen Carol's proposal, we suggest, one, create a process that educates listeners and staff on governance issues, and two, ensure that the selection of people to rewrite the bylaws is democratic, widely representative, and diverse. Carol's proposal for a board committee to draft bylaws proposes that the board shall immediately establish a national a committee composed of five subcommittees, one in each signal area, initially composed as follows. At least one member of the interim Pacifica National Board from each of the five signal areas, and at least three members from each of the five local station boards. Our amendment reads, in order to ensure the broad participation of an educated listenership and staff, which offers the broadest protection of Pacifica's mission, these subcommittees shall convene as soon as possible a two-day town hall meeting held at a geographically and physically accessible location on a weeknight or weekend to engage in this process. The meeting shall be broadly announced and promoted by the station, shall be broadcast live. It will be open to all listeners and staff. The meeting shall proceed as follows. One, hold presentations and discussions of the philosophical and practical issues of network governance through workshops and plenary sessions. Agree on a list of key issues and broad directions for bylaws, including first drafts of controversial sections. Two, at the end of the town hall meeting, elect up to seven representatives to continue the drafting process, at least half of which should be women, at least half of which should be people of color. Two seats shall be reserved for paid and unpaid station staff. After the election, each local advisory board should review the subcommittee's composition and seek applications for three additional seats to ensure the representation of all representative constituencies and demographics. The local advisory board will then elect three people to fill these positions. The draft that emerges from this town hall meeting shall be published on the station's website and relevant email lists, as well as printed and made available to the station. The station shall schedule several programs to present and invite open discussion of the draft. Each subcommittee shall also exchange drafts with the other subcommittees, and all five should be published on the Pacifica website. Each subcommittee shall continue the drafting process to fill any gaps, including the non-controversial areas, including developing an interim local draft. Each subcommittee shall then convene a final town hall meeting at which the local consultative process shall conclude. The subcommittee shall take into account input from that meeting to produce a final local draft. These five final local drafts shall be exchanged, posted on the Pacifica website, printed and made available at each station, and discussed over the air at all five stations. And finally, the national committee will attempt to mesh the five drafts into one national draft, which will go through the same radio and internet comment process. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And then, Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred Nguyen from New Jersey, and I'm presenting here an proposed amendment to Carol Spooner's proposal from Paul Saravelle, also from New Jersey, whom I consider to be the best Irish person in the entire of New York. Okay. And it goes as this: it's for a mission-based bylaws with a revision process. Dear IPNB majority.
I'm sorry, Fred. I should have done this. Carol, can you just pull out the most salient points?
Well, it's. I mean, do you think it's too long, or?
Yeah, we just want to know, get the essence of it.
Okay.
Because we have it all in front of us, so we can all read
okay.
it. You know.
Well, they say they don't have it in front of them.
No, everybody okay. on the board has it in front of us.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Carol Spooner's proposal for a committee to revise the Pacifica bylaws poses a necessary risk for the bylaw election process, and it does not assure a mission-based outcome. As such, it cannot be regarded as democratic. Her proposal leaves open the possibility to anti-reform elements could dominate three of the five areas subcommittees. Please amend the proposal to assure a mission-based democratic outcome. Carol's proposal allows anyone to join the local subcommittees if they attend three consecutive meetings. But in three of the five areas, the Pacifica Reform Movement has a very small number of activists. Washington, Los Angeles, and Houston. This may not be true for Los Angeles. Anyway, keep in mind that the Houston activists were able to mobilize only 50 people in their shadow lab election. The subcommittee meeting will be publicized on air. Who will respond to on-air announcement in Washington and Houston? Mission supporters and advocate of jazz or country western programming? Will the LA staff, which threatened to replace the LA lab, mobilize to stack the subcommittee there? The IPNB should not hesitate to create a process, a mission to assure a mission-based outcome. Our victory is fragile, and we have not had time to consolidate and rebuild, and we have a major crisis to overcome. The IPNB should amend Carol's proposal to provide that voting members of the subcommittee be either, one, the lab and IPNB members of the subcommittee, or two, lab and IPNB members plus listeners and producers appointed by the lab and the IPNB members on the basis that they support the Pacifica mission and that they reflect the constituencies that Pacifica seek to represent. Subcommittee meetings should be open for anyone to attend, to speak, to question, and to submit proposals. Input should be open to all and unrestricted. But the actual drafting of the bylaws and election procedures should be done only by subcommittees committed to the Pacifica mission. Carol Spooner said very well in a March 1st post on the New Pacifica list. Working on the bylaws over the next few months will give us all an opportunity to carefully think about what the best distribution of power will be for this unique organization, Pacifica Radio, which is both a network with national programming and five local community radio stations. And I may add that this also applies to the selection of people who write the bylaws. I have long believed that each station must have much more local control and autonomy than the past decade of centralization in the national office wanted them to have. but it is also important to maintain Pacifica's mission and to have means of requiring that all stations are fulfilling that mission. Let us create a bylaws revision process that assures that Pacifica's mission will be maintained. Paul Servelle, WBAI Membership Campaign, New Jersey Concern, France. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Now we have a very big challenge, and that is to put all this together. There are lots of ideas here and several proposals. So, Marion?
Let me suggest several things. One, let me speak to how Carol asked the question, who would get the draft? It seems to me that when you combine these three ideas about what happens at the local level, those, whatever configuration comes out of that, will be the ones who get the draft. Also, this board committee could hear from anybody who wanted to up front, who had experiences in this, looking at other models around the country itself before it sends it out. And so once it gets out to the local area, you have the same open dialogue, the same posting on the web, on the internet, the same town hall meetings, the same everything to listen and talk about the draft and then feed back up to the committee their recommendations. I think that's a process that will be very productive, because the worst thing that happened, that people go through all of this work and go to all these meetings, then the draft comes back up and doesn't fulfill Carol's main point. It has to be able to get a two-thirds majority of the interim board, which is 10 people, when it's full-fledged. And that would be frustrating, it seems to me, to people who've been out there doing all the work and come back and get nothing from it. So at the appropriate time, I'd like to make two motions. One is that we agree with the chair's idea of getting from KPFA their process of how these elections were held, send it out to the four other areas, let them comment on that, and come back to us for a final determination of how we order the elections. And secondly, that we have a board committee, that's separate motions, board committee, I'm not weighted to any number, but seven people that will gather information, do everything it can to do a draft and then send out to these subcommittees as outlined or modified by the speakers that came up here. It seems to me that's a very workable situation, and we'll get everybody involved to the maximum extent.
If I could ask the board's indulgence, our parliamentarian has asked if he could just pose a few questions. I guess questions that, should we be able to answer them, might give us some clarity on how to move. So if that's okay with people, I know it's a little unusual for the parliamentarian to serve in that role, but Ted.
Thank you. Sometimes when you're sitting back there, you can't hear every word that's being said, so I may be asking some questions that have already been answered, but my most important one is, must all aspects of these revised bylaws be the same for all five signal areas, disregarding the election protocols? In other words, let's say in Houston we want to have five.
WBAI, New York.
New York, they want to have 15 committees of the lab. Does someone have a definitive answer on this?
I have a definitive answer to that. The definitive answer to that is that's one of the issues the committee that drafts the bylaws will have to address. I think it's a good question. And I don't know the answer. I'm not sure that anybody knows if we have to have uniform procedures at all labs for elections and committees.
But let me just clarify this further. We are one organization, the Pacifica Foundation. We need one set of bylaws. Whether or not within those bylaws there's room for variation about how the local advisory boards are constructed or work, that's up for debate. But we come out of this with one set of bylaws for the national organization. Okay, just it's a little bit different.
Okay, and the second question I have is, are proposals approved first by the labs and then referred on to the interim Pacifica National Board, or do they come first to the IPNB and then back to the labs?
You mean for the final ratification?
After the five signal area subcommittees do their work, does that work then go to the IPNB and then back to the lab, or does it go to the five Signal Area Labs, and then on to the IPNB?
I think the committee and the labs and the IPNB would need to figure out which would work best. For instance, would the IPNB like to know first whether 3 out of 5 labs approve of this before they hold the vote? Or would it be better for the labs to know that 2/3 majority of the board accepts it before they vote? I don't know which would be more practical. I think that's something we could decide later.
Also, again, let me just do another nuance on this. There are several layers of the discussion and the process. As I think, as Carol laid it out, as everybody, I think there's a common assumption here, that whether we start with something that comes from this interim board, a draft that goes out to the 5 listening areas, however the committees put together, put that aside for a moment, however the local processes are put together, do we start with, if we start from something that comes from here and then goes to the 5 listening areas, does that then go to the labs before it comes back to the national interim board, or does it come back to us first? You know, there's the question about the process. Then there's also the question about the final adoption, which was what Carol was just answering. In that process, I think we'll have to answer what the final adoption, the settlement agreement does not answer that question. It just says 2/3 of this interim board and 3 out of 5 of the labs, but it doesn't say which comes first or whatever. So that will have to go through the process. I think a lot of this stuff just, personally, needs to happen simultaneously, right? That we're talking in a relatively short time span here, that as ideas come up, whether they're first generated from here or first generated from the 5 listening area committees, they need to go to the local advisory boards and to this body, and there needs to be as much cross-fertilization. It doesn't really matter, you know, if one gets them on Tuesday and one gets them on Wednesday. There does have to be the back and forth.